Oh my gosh, this is you bananas. Guys, friends. Big things are happening.
Oh, you're recording already. We're recording. Even realize.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste bonus episode. I'm Bethany.
I'm Kathleen. And we're, okay, should we say it at the same time?
One, two, three.
We're in a studio.
From a studio. In Audio Boom. They're not our parent company.
They're our bigger cousins.
Yeah, they're the company that has taken us and said, we love you, Acquired Taste Podcast. And they're the people who have enabled us to, like, get some sponsorships so we can get better equipment and blah, blah, blah. So they just invited us to become one of their Audio Boom originals.
Indeed.
Which is such a huge compliment.
It's
and so
almost as exclusive as being invited to the royal wedding.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Or to be a member of the Soho House.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're now recording this from the Audio Boom studios.
And not Kitchen NYC. I miss your cats dearly.
I know. I miss them too.
Their tails, they ever so slightly tickle my ankles.
Yeah.
When I take my shoes off at your house. Do you think I could take my shoes off here in the Audio Boom studio?
Absolutely. Because this is the funny thing. Mm-hmm. They set us up and then they left us.
Uh-huh.
So we can trash the place.
We live here now.
Yeah. We're a little bit more laid back during bonus episodes, but we, you know, want to check in with y'all.
Yeah, so if we sound a little bit different, you know why, and we're going to be recording here most of the time from now on.
Yes.
Like big girls, we just graduated from the training panties to thongs.
To thongs. And
that's a disgusting analogy.
What are training panties?
The ones that you can kind of pee in. You know, they're like not quite diapers, not quite regular underwear. You can wet yourself a little.
Like adult diapers.
Kind of, yeah.
Cool.
Sure.
Oh, like the pull-ups.
Mm-hmm. They
like
make them
pull-ups.
They're really stylish now.
Yeah, I've heard that they make them in like, you don't see the line. They're like, there's no like VPL, visible panty line.
Can I tell you about a game I was playing last night with my husband?
Yes, please.
What's that smell?
Oh, fun game. Did it originate because you smelled something or did it originate because you were creating a smell?
So we both were smelling something in the apartment. It was so foul. And so at one point he looked over and caught me smelling my own feet because I was like, is it me?
Wait, is this different than the smell that you smelled last time, which was like veggie burgers you left in the fridge or something?
Yeah, no, this is totally different.
New smell.
So he's like, do you smell something too? And I was like, yes, I think it's me. And he's like, well, I think it's me. And he's like, I actually changed my underwear before.
Wait,
so you know, you kind of you stick your neck out and you start going, where's that coming from? Turns out, so gross, I'd left a bathing suit on a doorknob to dry.
Oh.
But I was swimming in the ocean, and I hadn't rinsed it out, and my bathing suit freaking reeked,
makes
me think, what the hell is in the ocean?
Good question.
Fish poop.
Toxins.
Own urine. I pee in the ocean.
I do, too. I haven't been in the ocean in years, but last time, I absolutely left my DNA.
Self-cleaning organism.
Ooh.
It's like the bar of soap in your shower. It cleans itself.
It does. Uh-huh. I agree with that.
Inherently clean.
And your legs. They wash themselves. Gross. So did you? Now you have to soak it in vinegar.
Yeah, I soaked it. Yeah,
soaked it in vinegar.
I know. So one of my favorite games. What's that smell?
Was it moldy at all, or are you okay?
It smelled like the toe jam between your pinky toe.
Which I've never smelled.
Don't make that face. You know you have that.
I have never smelled that.
That's not true at all.
How often do you smell various parts of your body? I feel like I'm abnormal.
Maybe you are. I don't know. I do hot yoga. Things build up.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole different... if you are someone who does hot yoga, that's a whole different view on life that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Kathleen, I do need to ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
So we come into Audio Boom today. We sit down with the people that, you know, if you work in an office where you email people a lot outside of your office and then you meet them for the first time, it's like this cool family reunion.
Yeah, it's like a pen pal thing. You're like, oh my God, I finally know what you look like.
Exactly. So we were like, there's a lot of hugging and hiing and, you know, like, oh my gosh. And then they left us alone for a second to go get like a couple of other people for us to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked to Kathleen. My face went from like a grin of like, thank you for welcoming us. And I spun to Kathleen. My face fell and I said, am I being so weird?
Yeah, I know. Okay, so...
Because I feel like I'm being so weird.
Well, you know, when you meet somebody for the first time or a bunch of people, you're on your best behavior, but you also want to be entertaining and charming. So they come away with like, wow, what an amazing person.
Yes.
So yeah, you were like turning on your charm skills, but you weren't being weird.
I wasn't being like,
no, not at
too
all.
Much.
No, not at all.
Because
I would tell you.
Oh, I know you would. And that's why I asked. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because like Kathleen, gentle listener, Kathleen has this lovely understated way of being very pleasant and approachable, but not too much. Like she, Kathleen is like a good person to have at a party.
So like I'm good at being icy.
No, you're not icy at all. You're like you're kind and approachable and lovely.
No, I can like also be a little bit icy, but
you were not icy in this situation.
I think that because you are shy, and some people listening might find that hard to believe about you.
I'm very shy.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. That's the right word to use.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when you're meeting new people, you turn it on, and because you're not used to that level of friendliness, you feel like you're in overdrive, but you are most certainly not.
So I didn't over-calibrate.
No.
God, I was feeling weird.
Okay. I would have given you our special signal.
Which let's say it at the same time.
You
wave your hand.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. All right, good. All right, good. I'm relieved because, boy, all right.
We're in a new room.
Uh-huh.
So to keep ourselves safe, you know, in case there's like an emergency or anything, or, you know, a zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
Very likely that it will happen in the next couple of years.
Probably.
Every time I enter a room where I'm going to be spending a lot of time, I look around for weapons.
You always should.
That, you know, would serve me well in case a zombie tried to break into this room. So I was, you know, like there's really not a lot here.
No, this is the room. So it's four walls. There's one door with a tiny window.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of foam and padding for acoustics.
Yeah.
And then literally just chairs and big microphones. So what I think we would have to do is yank these microphone arms out of the table and use them as a bat. Here's the problem with a bat.
Yes.
If you're using a bat as self-defense, in order to swing it, you have to open up your torso as you swing for a significant period of time.
Yes.
As you wind up, and that leaves you fully vulnerable, which is why you never want to swing a bat. You want to, if you have a bat, you want to use it more of like as like a poker, like a jabber.
God, you were so smart.
Poker, poker, poker.
Yes.
Or if you're going to do some sort of swing, you got to do it just like wind up before they come in the room so you're already wound up and then smack them in the face.
Aim for the head, yeah.
What would you do? Where's your weapon?
You know, I don't know. I've seen every episode of Walking Dead, and I do know that younger zombies are stronger. So probably something where that would knock them over, like a chair, and then I might take this. We sort of have like a mixer on the board here.
Yeah.
I might unplug it and just – it looks kind of heavy. I would smash their head in.
That's really smart.
There's like a big computer monitor too. That would be like a good smasher.
Yeah, but I don't know how heavy is too heavy. When does it become unwieldy?
So this is a good exercise, I think, for everyone to practice. Mm-hmm. Say you get a new job, you're at a doctor's office. Say you like you're at a therapist appointment or a friend. You make a new friend. You're going to spend a lot of time at their house, right?
Yeah, friendship.
Walk into the room. Figure out what your weapon of choice is.
Yeah.
If they don't have a lot of weapons, like our situation here is currently looking, maybe we should suggest to Audio Boom that they make a box of weapons just in case. I mean, because there's only one way out of here.
That's the thing that worries me. There is one exit.
Yeah, so we have to arm ourselves.
I think it's a double-edged sword. If we were to walk into Audio Boom and there was a box of weapons, I would be worried.
Mm.
But also,
I wouldn't be worried. I would just be like, yes, I'm glad to be a part of the Audio Boom team because they are prepared. Please hand me a buck knife.
There's just a throwing star. There's just like a box of throwing stars. I also, by the way, it's funny that you do that because I always figure out where I would hide from Nazis.
Mm.
I've done this since I was a little kid. If I go into a new room, if Nazis showed up, where would I hide? And oddly now, it's becoming more of a real thing in our society than before. But I still, it's always good to know where you're going to hide.
Unreal. And also, Bethany and I can start having more guests on this podcast. Because now we have an official studio. You know, before it was like kind of awkward to invite somebody to your house.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, here, stranger.
Yeah.
You're well known in the public, but I don't know if you're a murderer behind the scenes.
And also, I was telling Kathleen and the Audio Boom people, my landlords called the cops on my movers. Because like they didn't recognize them. So my landlords. Landlords are very, you know, I live with the family, so they're very protective of their family home, as they should be, and which is why I love there, because I'm protected there.
My super Frank, he sits outside my building on a lawn chair, and I'm like, Frank, bless your heart, you're protecting us from the outside world.
Yeah, but yeah, so this is good. So hopefully you'll be hearing more guests, you'll be hearing more other podcasts guests on this podcast. We would love to hear from you if there are podcasts that you listen to that you really enjoy and you think would be fun for us to do like guest episodes with. We'd love to hear that. You can tweet us at Acquired Podcast.
Yes.
We would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Bethany, have you been watching? I know the answer is no, but I'm going to ask you anyway. The Hills, the remake of The Hills? Okay, and now Misha Barton's on it.
What?
Yes, and Whitney Port is on
it. Wait.
Misha Barton is on the Hills.
When Misha Barton was on Dancing with the Stars, she could not have been less interested in being on Dancing with the Stars. Is her attitude better?
She's definitely not one of the main players
in
terms of screen time, just because she probably is trying to make the most money for the least amount of work.
And
listen, and I don't blame her. That is my life goal. But Pamela Anderson and, God, who was her first husband?
The one that she made the sex tape with?
Yes, and they have a son.
He steered the boat with his penis.
I forgot about that.
Tommy Lee.
Well, their son, Brandon.
Brandon Lee?
Brandon Lee is on The Hills. And in one of the first episodes of The Hills, you get, like, introduced to Brandon as, like, Pamela Anderson's son.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he says, and I'm wondering what your solution to this would be. He goes, yeah, my mom lives in France now. Once the president was elected, she left. And I thought, oh, she moved to France. How chic of Pamela Anderson. So, Bethany, if you had to flee the country, where do you think you would live?
Oh, well, I still want to work, right?
Yeah.
I would move to Canada.
Mm.
I know that that's a stereotypical answer, but they have a great film industry in Canada.
They do.
And you are more likely to get a job if you're a Canadian citizen.
Vancouver.
So, yeah. So I would try to get citizenship and I would move to Vancouver. What about you? Where would you move, Kathleen?
I would probably move to Ireland.
Really?
Yeah, that's where, like, my people are.
Yeah.
The funny thing is about moving to the EU, there's so many rules on who can become a citizen or who can move there. And you have to make over a certain amount of euros before they're like, okay, you can live here and work here because you make X amount of dollars, you'll be contributing to our economy. Because especially in Ireland, they've had, you know, issues with the economy and, you know, availability of jobs and whatnot. But I would try to go to Ireland. I would need to find a way to become a millionaire while I was there.
Yeah, no, for sure. What would you do?
What
would be your trade?
Just being named Kathleen, I think.
Is that
my trade, yeah.
I don't know if that's going to work out.
And my last name is very Irish too, you know, so.
Ireland?
Ireland, yeah. My last name is Kathleen Ireland.
Kathleen Ireland.
I have an amazing amazing line of sheets and towels and clothing at Kmart, I think, you know, right? Kathy Ireland?
I think so.
Uh-huh.
You never say your last name on the podcast.
No, I never do.
And that's why people don't know your last name is Ireland.
Ireland.
You cut the O off for entertainment purposes. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you why? The dumb question that went into my head when you said the kid's name is Brandon Lee.
Yeah.
He can't be in Screen Actors Guild because Bruce Lee's son, Brandon Lee, was named Brandon Lee. And he is the one who died during filming of The Crow. So is this Brandon Lee using a different name if he's in Screen Actors Guild?
You know what? I don't even know.
Or is The Hills a DJ? Of course he is.
I think he's a DJ.
Anyone who's been on Bumble recently knows that everyone on Bumble is a DJ. You know that they only DJ in the garage on the weekends on Instagram Live. You know that.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're a DJ. They're an entrepreneur.
I mean, if you're famous and you have like a MacBook, you can be a DJ.
I'm probably a DJ.
Yeah, I'm a DJ too.
I mean,
I play songs for my cat all the time.
And she loves
it. Yeah, she beats up the beat. She's from New Jersey. She's Italian. Her name is Cannoli.
She is. Cannoli Ireland. It's very confusing. So Oprah, I think it was Oprah who said, you want to have a home that rises up and meets you.
Well, that's just a lovely thought.
It is a lovely thought, but like not something you can afford if you're not super rich, except you can. It's just about picking things that really make you happy, which is why Kathleen and I have partnered with Joybird Furniture.
I love going on the Joybird website and looking at all their amazing styles and colors because it's all just so unique. And when I'm looking at their furniture, I feel like I'm in my own haven.
You want a place that is exactly how you want it, right? So let's say you want a sofa that is bubblegum pink. Let's say you want a chair that's a deep indigo.
Sign me up.
Exactly. You design the furniture that you want.
Yeah. If you can dream it, Joybird can make it a reality.
They have hundreds of styles and options. You can do love seats. You can do sofas. You can do chairs. They have buttery leather. They have plush velvet. And they also have a range of kid and pet friendly upholstery options. So if you have little uncontrollable things running around your house, spilling stuff and being sticky,
yeah,
you still can have furniture that stands up to that.
You know, having furniture that comes in a fabric that my cat's not going to tear up, that's super important to me. There are things that I haven't purchased that I really wanted because I knew that it just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. And each Joybird piece is made by hand with care and precision. They use high quality hardwood and responsibly sourced materials to fit your exact specifications. Dennis's living room couch is from Joybird.
And it looks so durable.
It's very durable. Our first kiss was on that couch. Every Aww. Kiss begins with couch. So see how Joybird can help you design your dream space.
Find your joy today at joybird.com/taste.
Create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/taste.
Head over to joybird.com/taste and receive an exclusive 25% off of your first order by using the code TASTE, T-A-S-T-E.
joybird.com/taste and use the code TASTE. Can I tell you something, Kathleen?
Uh-huh.
So Dennis and I are going on vacation next week.
Yes.
And we're not bringing anything. Like, he's not bringing his camera because he doesn't want to feel pressured, take photos and edit them.
What?
We're turning our phones off. The only piece of technology we're bringing is his iPad because we want to watch Ghost Adventures.
Stop it. Well, you know what?
With our boyfriend, Zach Baggins.
It just popped up, the notification on my phone, that Zach Baggins freaking purchased the Charles Manson house that went up for sale. Okay. Outside of this podcast, outside of you talking about the frat brother D-bag, Zach Baggins.
Don't say that. I want him to follow me on Twitter again. He unfollowed me and I don't know why.
You're right. It's not fair that I call him a D-bag. I've never met him.
No, he's
just
kind of a D-bag.
I've never, ever, ever heard anybody talk about Zach Baggins before, other than you. And now freaking TMZ is blowing up my phone with, like, Zach Baggins buys Charles Manson house. I'm like, huh?
Yeah. Zach Baggins is becoming the curator of all things strange. So he has his, like, haunted museum in Las Vegas, which I definitely want to go to. And our friends from And That's Why We Drink, they went to his haunted museum, I think for Christine's bachelorette party. And the gift shop is apparently just wild. Like, you can buy super expensive posters that he signed himself.
Stop it. They
have the Dybbuk box, which I'm pretty sure is all fake. But it's a thing. It's an experience.
What is in his museum?
So he has...
Like, dead body parts? Like, suspended in liquid?
Probably.
Yeah.
He has a lot of Jack Kevorkian's van, where Jack Kevorkian, I guess, would, like, do the assisted suicide.
Is this guy a trust fund baby? Like, how much is all of this costing?
No, well, Ghost Adventures has been on TV for, like, 15 seasons.
Okay.
So they're raking in the dough. He's one of the main producers of that show, so he's getting star credit plus producer credit.
Ghostly money.
Yep, he's getting tons of residuals, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And then he wrote a book or something, so some whatever book income he has. And then as he sells tickets to his haunted museum, he is, I promise you, rolling in money.
That's
rolling in money.
Wait, where is this museum again? LA?
Vegas. You have to go to Vegas because they're from Vegas. I know way too much about everyone on the show. And anytime I travel to Vegas for work, like in my past life, there was never any time to go. There was never free time. But I can't bring myself to just go to Las Vegas again.
Yeah, and by the pool.
And by the pool.
Well, it is in the desert, and they say the desert's a spiritual place. So, like, you know, maybe he is really encountering ghosts out there.
I mean, there was I think it was Post Malone who was there, and some stuff happened to Post Malone.
Oh, my God. You know what? Can we open up our own museum, please? I already know what I want the theme to be.
What?
I want it to be dedicated to the 90s. Yes. So we're going to get, like, some bucket hats.
I think that already happens. I think it's called American Apparel.
We're going to sell it. No, American Apparel's not around anymore. I'm pretty sure that closed down. Yeah. And there'll be, like, a whole room dedicated to different types of flannel.
Okay.
Mostly displayed in button-down shirts tied around the waist of the mannequins.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And there'd be a whole room dedicated to television of the 90s. My So-Called Life, Party of Five, The Simpsons, the classics.
Okay, what else?
Okay.
You got to build a whole museum around
this. And then
this.
Another room dedicated to Jelly Shoes.
Oh, fuck yes.
I know. Yeah.
Oh, I love
And then
them.
Do you remember foam shoes? You could buy them at Payless. They were sandals made mostly of just foam.
Yes.
And I used to wear them in my pool because I'd be like, these are my floaty shoes. So I would suspend my body upside down in the pool with just my feet and my foam sandals at the top, like, bobbing up and down. It was my pool party trick.
Your mom must have been terrified she'd come out and you were just, like, beat up.
and big clips, hair clips, you know.
Like,
that,
banana clips?
Like, no. Like,
butterfly clips?
Well, yes, another room for butterfly clips. But, you know, just, like, regular hair clips.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So now the girls are wearing them in pearls, like, these clips covered in pearls. big giant pearls. Haven't you seen this?
No, but I'm not around the youths as much.
Yeah. And like also the big pearl headbands, they're all related to each other.
Yeah.
You can get some good knockoffs on Amazon. But a friend recently texted me. She's like, you know, these big clips that these girls are wearing now? You know who invented that?
Who?
Meredith from The Office. Meredith from The Office was huge on the clips.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. I know what the clips you're talking about.
Joke's on all the fashion girls. They're just copying The Office.
Yeah, Meredith. She was the one who also drank hand sanitizer, right?
Yes.
What is...
Echo Cooler. Another... That's what
Echo Cooler.
They're going to sell Echo Cooler at the cafe.
That's my other question. Mm. What's in your gift shop of your museum, Kathleen? Mm.
Those headbands with the spikes, accordion headbands.
Love those.
Yes. And then the tattoo bracelets and the chokers.
Yep.
A lot of those. A lot of like black velvet mini skirts. Those were big, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And Argyle socks. Remember, you used to wear them with your cons?
Yeah,
yeah,
of course.
And like skirts, like, you know, like Avril Lavigne.
Totally.
Ties in your belt.
Yeah, she ended up with a skater boy. I don't know if you knew that. He hangs out. He has a lot of shows, but she meets him backstage afterwards because she does a lot of work at the studio.
Yeah, and then when she says goodbye, she says, see you later, boy.
Yeah, yeah.
B-O-I.
I'm trying to think of what my museum would be if I were to open up a museum and make a lot of money.
Is a museum for people who don't cook, maybe?
You are just
a museum
too much.
For people who own one-eyed cats.
Okay. I'm feeling a little attacked.
A museum for people who don't keep paper towels in their house. Yeah, see, you're choking. You're so ashamed.
This, you know, I was supportive, and then I turn around, and Kathleen just comes at me. She comes at me.
A museum for people who have a hard time regulating their body temperature.
Okay, you can just go to hell. Mm-hmm. My museum would be the museum of delightful, of the macabre, but different from Zach Bagans in that mine would be more based on Victorian clothing, saturated in blood, and different positions that bodies were found in. But then the thing that you don't realize is that once a day, there's a murder.
The horror.
And then if the murder happens while you're at the museum, goosh, 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 doors lock, everything closes, and you have to solve the murder.
Are there any lights on or no?
No lights on.
Can you use your cell phones?
No, your cell phone. There were no cell phones in Victorian era.
Are you at least going to provide candles that can be lit?
Candles everywhere.
What if somebody's like wearing a lot of hairspray in their hair? They're going to go up and place.
Dead.
Dead on the inside.
Dead. Mm. Now, here's the crazy thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know I said once a day. I was lying. Murder happens just every once in a while.
Okay. I think it should be once a day.
I want it to be a surprise.
Is this world overpopulated anyway?
A little bit.
Oh my God, that's a fucked up thing I just said.
It's a little weird.
Whatever, let's move on.
Where you go because you're not sure, A, if it's going to happen while you're there, B, if it's going to be you.
Mm.
And so there's like this excitement of like, will it be today? And it might not happen for a year. Might happen twice in a row. It's like a slot machine. You don't know when it's gonna hit.
Are people gonna have to sign that thing? What's that piece of paper?
Waiver.
A waiver. Just like that deadly water park in New Jersey, Action Park.
Action Park.
Everybody broke their legs jumping off the Action Park cliff.
That's right.
I understand that. You know what? I used to love water parks.
Yeah.
But now I feel like every time I turn around, there's some news on the news about poop floating in the lazy river at the water park.
You can't trust a water park.
No.
They're just wet death.
Yeah. Think about all of that. You can't even walk in your own gym locker room without shoes on. People pat around water parks with like thousands of people on bare feet and
disease.
Their urines and their snot coming out of their face.
Disease. Water is nothing but disease. This brings us back to your swimsuit.
I know. Yeah. What's in the ocean?
We don't know. Disease. What's in the ocean? Disease. Do you want to read the email really quickly?
Yes.
One of our episodes recently with Hannah.
Yeah,
With
Hannah Palindrome. We did an episode about Hannah. She had never orgasmed in her whole life. And
She's 26.
Bethany and I really received an outpouring of voicemails and notes and just people that were like, tell Hannah she's not alone.
Yeah, this resonated with a lot of people.
A lot of people. So this is from Brittany. She says, hi, ladies. My name is Brittany.
Is it Brittany Snow from American Dreams?
It is Brittany Snow. Yeah, she just got engaged. I follow her on Instagram.
Aw, mazel.
Mm-hmm. I've been a longtime listener from the beginning, and I love you girls. I wanted to put it out there to Hannah and anybody else who is listening to this that has the same concern. I am 29 years old, and I just had my first orgasm this year.
Brittany!
Congratulations.
Just got engaged and her first orgasm. And Muzzle. She was on American Dreams.
And it was not without trying, let me tell you. I've been with my husband for about 10 years and had a good bunch of sexual partners before that. I was kind of sex crazy as a teenager. And while I always loved sex, I never orgasmed. I was never able to orgasm while I was masturbating either. And I just sort of accepted this as my, you know, my card in life. Then a few years ago, I started developing pain during sex.
Ow, ow, ow.
Oh, God, that's so frustrating. At first, I refused to go to the doctor because I didn't feel comfortable enough discussing these things. And I just tried avoiding it and hoping that it would go away. This went on for years.
Oh, Brittany Snow.
It put a huge strain on my self-worth. It put a huge strain on my relationship with my very supportive husband. It wasn't until this past year that I decided that I'd had enough and I finally made an appointment at the doctor. I burst into tears when she entered the room, and she was very quickly able to diagnose me with something called vaginismus. We are not doctors.
Vaginismus.
We did not go to medical school.
Vaginismus.
I read WebMD. Vaginismus.
Vaginismus.
This gave me the first spark of hope that I'd had in years, and I was finally thinking that I could start to overcome it. I reached out to my therapist to work on issues from some earlier sexual trauma in my life that I was repressing, and you know, it was sort of bringing on shame and vulnerability to me. Then I signed myself up for an online class called Forging a Feminine Path. It's hosted by a woman who calls herself Magamama.
Ah.
Magamama. It was all very woo-woo sounding to me, but at that point, I was up for anything. She educated me on my own pelvis and how it works and how to access it. It's a bit of meditation work, a lot like Kathleen was describing through her yoga sessions where, you know, you kind of go through Shavasana and you're, you know, you're thinking about every part of your body.
Is that corpse pose again?
Yeah.
Corpse pose.
Anyway, a few weeks into this course, which you can take on at home at your own time, at 29 years old, I finally was able to masturbate and bring myself to orgasm.
Woohoo!
It might sound funny to some people, but seriously, it was life-altering for me.
Yeah.
The first time I did it, it took forever. But honestly, now I'm like a teenage boy masturbating every day.
Get it, girl.
I'm much more efficient now. I've also begun using, you know, sex toys like a vibrator, and my partner sort of hangs out with me while I do this. So I've had orgasms during sex, too. And trust me, I had tried vibrators before, but until I slowed down and took this course with the full intention of learning about my body, they never worked for me.
Wow.
If you don't have time to read this on the podcast, I understand, but I'd love if you could share my story with Hannah and anyone else you think would benefit. I tear up just thinking about it. You can even give her my email if she has any questions. Oh. I seriously hope that this gives her some inspiration.
That is amazing. That's one. First of all, thank you for sending that email, Brittany. That was really awesome of
Brittany
you.
Snow.
That's amazing. And that's one thing that we didn't reference is potential medical issues that Hannah might be facing. I Googled vaginismus. I'm so sorry. We're ruining this.
Vaginismus?
Vaginismus. According to Merck manuals, it's an involuntary contraction of muscles around the opening of the vagina in women with no abnormalities in the genital organs.
Hmm.
The tight muscle contraction makes sexual intercourse or any sexual activity that involves penetration painful or impossible.
Hmm.
And there's a bunch more about it. They say that some of the cures, quote unquote, one is sex therapy and counseling, learning about your anatomy and what happens during sexual arousal and intercourse. Vaginal dilator is possibly could help. Kegel exercises. So again, this is all from MerckManuals.com. This is just the internet. Don't, you know, talk to your doctor. But it could be something where, you know, this is a very frustrating situation and your body may be so tense about it. And if there was any sexual trauma in the past, and Hannah didn't say that there was, but if there is, your body, it's sort of amazing what your body does without your brain having any idea.
Any idea.
Any clue. So your body might involuntarily be just tensing up because sex is very frightening.
Yes.
And you think you're relaxed and you're just not.
You're not, yeah.
And obviously, like Kathleen and I said before, we're not professionals, but speaking from personal experience, your body can be operating on a completely different wavelength than you think it is.
Yeah.
And it really is sort of amazing that it has quite literally sometimes a brain of its own.
I mean, it's sort of amazing that Brittany, I think we can all take away from this, is that don't be afraid to talk to your doctor ever.
And if your doctor makes you feel ashamed, find a new goddamn doctor. Yes. This world is filled with amazing medical professionals.
I literally get embarrassed at anytime I have to take off my clothes. And I went to my doctor and said, I think I have worms in my butt. And if I can do it, you can do it.
Was that when you pooped on a plate?
I did. I didn't. I ended up not having worms in my butt. So it's all good.
Well, how did you find that out?
Because I pooped on a plate.
Yeah, she pooped on a plate.
Okay, well, how else are you supposed to give a stool sample?
I think it's important that you pooped on a plate. And I'm proud of you.
And the fact that Brittany not only went to her doctor, she sought to fix herself too through online channels of learning and discovery. I mean, we could all achieve world peace if we applied this, you know, sort of way of living to anything in this world.
I get emotional when our listeners reach out to help each other. And the fact that Brittany Snow, first of all, love you in TV and film. The fact that like you reached out to help Hannah, and we had so many other listeners who reached out to help Hannah as well, that you guys are just like, you're just the best community, and we're so grateful. And Hannah, I hope that this helps too.
Yeah.
That you come up with an answer.
And I think that's kind of our goal for this podcast, to say what everybody's thinking but they're afraid to say.
Yeah.
Lord knows I do it every day.
You're great at it. I'm awful at it, but I hold you up.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Would you be embarrassed? Okay, Bethany, let's say you opened Amazon Audible. We're a big fan of that app, audiobooks, whatever. Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not so bad, 10 being it's the end of the world, if you opened up your Audible app and your inner monologue from one day, 24-hour period, was their number one trending item, what would be your reaction?
Oh, no. Is it credited to me?
Yeah.
And it links to my social media accounts? Oh,
yeah.
God.
Uh-huh.
I'd be...
Would you be calling a PR team to, like, come in?
Yeah.
What was that show?
Scandal?
Scandal.
Yeah. I'd be calling, like, my emergency...
Yeah, Kerry Washington.
Oh, my gosh. It'd be awful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mostly because of sometimes I think the meanest stuff about people that I don't like.
Yeah.
And it's nothing I'll act on. Mm-mm. And it's stuff I'm actively working on not feeling.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just get real mad at some people. I actively am angry at them in my head and say horrible things in my head. And sometimes I also wonder things about my body.
Yes.
And things my body is doing. And if that thing my body is doing is normal. I don't want anyone to hear it.
I think mostly mine would just be a repeating track of, I'm tired, I'm hungry. I'm tired, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm hungry.
So like a Labrador Retriever.
Yes. And I'm so, so, so certain that somebody would download it and make it into a remix that would play at all the hot clubs.
Dude, if you are a musician, will you please remix Kathleen Just Now? I'm tired, I'm hungry.
Tired, hungry. Tired, I'm hungry, I'm tired. Beat up the beat. Yo, yo, yo. All the ladies in the house. You got them hair. You got them real fingernails. Can I ask you one more question?
You can ask me anything.
Okay, so let's say, speaking of dogs.
Yeah, I love them.
Would you rather turn into a dog every night at bedtime?
Yes.
For just the span of the night?
Like the Shrek illness?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, okay.
Or have a husband or wife or partner that is Beast from Beauty and the Beast?
Oh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have follow-up questions.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding the Beast, is he the Beast after he fell in love with Belle, or is he the angry Beast who's just like aggro is kind of an incel in this castle?
Not aggro. The Beast after he fell in love with Belle, but still a Beast nonetheless.
Is he a Beast 24/7 or just at night?
24/7.
Hmm.
I know what I would pick.
Can he speak English?
Yes.
I pick the Beast.
You do?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
All right.
You'd be a dog.
I would definitely be a dog.
I mean, that would be fun. I'm not going to knock the dog.
I mean, I'm a morning sex person anyway, so that wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I would just like curl up. I could sleep on my bed with my husband every night. Keep him warm.
Here's the problem. You have to do a lot of self-cleaning. Dogs lick a lot of stuff that I wouldn't feel comfortable licking.
Yeah, but you know what? Because I'm not a dog 24/7.
Yeah.
I could choose not to do that at night.
Mm.
And then you know what it's like to be a dog. Isn't that amazing?
You just got so happy.
Yes, I would request that my husband bring me to the beach in the middle of the night so I could jump in the waves. You know that movie A Dog's Life with Dennis Quaid?
Refused to watch it.
No, okay, so it was totally false that they abused the animals.
Was it?
It was totally false.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like somebody took a video that they weren't supposed to be taking and then spliced it together to make it look like the animals are being abused.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, yes, yes. I know.
Still can't watch animal-based films.
And I feel like not enough people know that because it actually was a really good film.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Movies about animals always make me cry. I can't handle it.
Why?
Because always one of them always dies. One of them always dies.
That's not true.
Did an animal die in A Dog's Life?
Yeah.
Okay. I rest my case, Your Honor.
I see your point.
Yeah. You liked it? What's it about?
Did anybody die in Lady and the Tramp? I don't think so. They just say spaghetti.
Yeah, but that's different.
Nobody
because
dies
it's a
spaghetti.
Cartoon.
Mm, I don't think it's different.
I think it's super different.
Whatevs.
Okay. What?
Agree to disagree.
Yeah, agree to disagree. This won't, you guys, this won't end the podcast, but this will definitely be a tense moment that we're just going to have to get through.
Should we get like a couples therapist?
Yeah, do we want to talk to my therapist? She's great.
I have a great therapist too.
What's her name?
I actually don't know.
Okay, then.
I actually don't want to tell you because
that's
I don't
not a friendship.
I don't want anybody else to take her. It's taken me so long to find her.
If it's my therapist, that'd be crazy.
Oh my God. How? Do you know I have a lot of friends with the same therapist?
Impossible. Can't happen.
No, it does happen.
No, I mean, I know it happens, but like, no. Because then they all talk about each other.
Yes, they all talk about each other.
I'm thinking of the Monterey Five, how they all had like one therapist.
Don't tell me I have one episode left.
Oh, wait, can I just savor this moment of me knowing something about Big Little Lies that you don't know?
Stop it. You know how much I love Reese Witherspoon. Don't tell me.
This is like in National Treasure when Ben knew an answer that Nicolas Cage didn't know.
Nobody cares about National Treasure.
And everyone cares about National Treasure.
Okay, whatever.
You know what? You can look at a $100 bill closer up by holding up a delicious, crisp bottle of Aquafina as a magnifying glass. Just saying.
That's an interesting concept.
So you'd be a dog, huh?
Big thank you to Audio Boom. For letting us use their studios today for the first time.
We love you guys.
We're looking forward to a long and fruitful partnership.
Yeah, or until they realize we've completely wrecked their studio.
Hopefully this time next year, Bethany and I will have a plane branded with our faces.
Yep, an Audio Boom plane with our faces on it.
Mm-hmm.
And
we'll be having Easter brunch with Oprah.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. Mm-hmm. You know? And then she'll tell us in person that our homes should rise up to meet us.